kings and priests unto God. Brother Alan.
My dear brothers and sisters, do you feel ready to be kings and priests in the age to come? That age to come is very near at hand. We are now in a time of preparation. What a glorious exhortation we've just sung to ourselves. Sealed of God within the forehead. Consecrated heart and soul. Separate from sinners wanton. Yielding to the Lord's control. It's His work, brethren and sisters. It is He that is transforming us and preparing us for the work that has to be done in the age to come. Robes of righteousness possessing, first fruits they of harvest whole. Robes of righteousness, brothers and sisters, without fault. What a glorious destiny, what a glorious way of salvation is ours, brothers and sisters. No blemish. A glorious bride. The exact opposite of the way of the flesh. As we get older, then the blemishes and the spots and the wrinkles become more and more. But as we develop in the truth, brothers and sisters, we develop towards the bride that has not spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Let us take the exhortation. Hear him cheering thee, my brother. Whatsoe'er thy present pain, not to be compared the suffering with the glory thou shalt gain in the kingdom of the Father, in the Son's immortal reign. And it's of the glory that we shall gain in the kingdom of the Father, in the Son's immortal reign, that we are to speak now. We want to go first of all to the book of the Apocalypse, Revelation chapter 20. Here we read of the consummation of things, of the glorious destiny of the saints, of those that have put their trust in their God, separated themselves from sinners wanton, and walked in the way of truth. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands. They had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. That's a warning, brethren and sisters. The world is full of the beast and his image and his mark. It's on the foreheads and the hands of so many of the people that we come across day by day. And the cancer of Catholicism is spreading throughout the civilization in which we live, with its daughter harlots and abominations. Let us have nothing to do with it, brethren and sisters. Let us separate ourselves from sinners wanton, because that's what they are. Whatever the appearance is, that system is abomination in the sight of our God. And those that had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And who can say that that has happened in the past? Nobody who can read the scripture and understand it would say that. And yet there are some associated with us as part of our community that have said just that. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us take the word of God and let it be a motive force in our lives and understand the words that are written there. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the resurrection of first fruits, probably better translated. On such the second death hath no power, no authority, is the meaning of that word power. The second death has no jurisdiction over them, because they put their trust in their God. It is their God that has control over death and the grave, and particularly embodied in his Son. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Here is the glorious destiny that is presented in the Scriptures for those that put their trust in their God. So we receive the exhortation to separate ourselves from the world around us, to set our minds wholly on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we do, God will provide all that we need in this life, perhaps not all that we want, but certainly all that we need. And so we have a destiny as kings and priests in the age to come. In the second letter to Timothy, and chapter 2, Paul gives Timothy an exhortation. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David. We tend to concentrate perhaps over much on Jesus as the seed of Abraham. But it's as the seed of David that he is king over the kingdom that David ruled over, whose jurisdiction will extend unto the ends of the earth. Here is kingship being spoken of. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Brother Donald has already drawn our attention to the joys associated with the resurrection from the dead. Wherein I suffer trouble, he says, in the gospel he suffers trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes. All things are for our sakes, brothers and sisters. The events that are taking place in the world at the present time are preparing for our role in the age to come. It is a marvellous fact that all the events in history have taken place that we might be heirs in the kingdom of God. All things are for our sakes, brethren and sisters. What a comfort that we can take from that statement. Jesus Christ, the only righteous man who ever lived, died that we might have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. The trouble in Israel at the present time, the trouble in Bosnia, the trouble all over the world is preparing for the time when the kingdom of God is established. And Paul endured all things for the elect's sakes, that they might also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The glory of the age to come, brothers and sisters. What a hope is given to us. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Therefore, brethren and sisters, having figuratively died in the waters of baptism and risen again, let us continue by being dead to the way of life that we left behind us. Let us not, as the children of Israel, look back to the foods of Egypt, the leeks, the onions, the melons, the garlics, and the cucumbers, and the fish, but let us look forward to the great things that are promised to us, the wheat and the barley, the oil olive, and the other fruits of the land that were placed before the children of Israel are placed before us. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. And so that prophetic rising from the waters of baptism will have an antitype if we mortify the things of the flesh, put them to death. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Kings and priests unto God, brethren and sisters. The sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Here is exhortation indeed. We have the warning, if we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. It will happen, but we won't be there. Let us then, brethren and sisters, dedicate ourselves unto his service. Back to the first chapter of the book of Revelation. We have a great exhortation in the first three verses that Brother Donald has already referred to for us. But now, in verse 4 of the first chapter, we have the introduction of the book itself. John, to the seven ecclesias which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which is before his throne. The is in the Greek is as ungrammatical as the is in English as it should have been translated. The seven spirits are one spirit in multitudinous manifestation. It is one power, brethren and sisters, the power of the living God, the eternal spirit, multitudinously manifested in all sorts of different facets, reflected in individuals that are to make up the body of Christ that Brother Donald has already described to us, spoken of later in the first chapter. And from Jesus Christ, verse 5, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the first begotten, the first of many, brethren and sisters, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What an emphasis there is on the salvation that God has wrought in his Son in this book of the Apocalypse, brethren and sisters. The word Lamb, referred to by Brother Michael, occurs 33 times in the New Testament. 29 of those times are in the book of Revelation. The Lamb, the one who receives honour and glory because of his obedience even unto death. That defenceless one that is the lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David, that is able to undo the scroll of the book, as we read in chapter 5. He is the one that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. This is a reality, brethren and sisters. It is a great blessing that we have received. It is a great sacrifice that has been made on our behalf. Let us continue to be conscious of the blessings that we have received and return the praise unto the name of our God for the great things that he has done for us.
this is the object of our life in the truth. That we should be conscious of these things, that we should turn ourselves to divine things and return the praise to his name. It does us as much good as it does the Father. In fact, the Father doesn't need it. It is for our benefit that we need to develop that thankfulness and praise unto his name, that our characters might be developed to be like unto his glorious character. Verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God. That's what it's accomplished, brothers and sisters. We've been made kings and priests unto God. However unworthy we may feel now, we are being prepared for that role in the age to come. A right recognition of the impulses of the flesh and the destiny of the ways of the flesh. That we might walk according to the Spirit and teach people in the age to come to walk according to the Spirit. Kings and priests unto God and his Father. He is both God and his Father, and it is by his power, by his wisdom, by his will that all these things have been accomplished. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever, for the aeons of the aeons. Amen. And the exhortation comes to us continually. Chapter 2 and verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. So here's an exhortation to overcome and keep his works unto the end. To him will I give power, authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. We are to receive a throne. We are to have power over the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. This is the purpose that God has for us. Chapter 3 and verse 21. To him that overcometh. Is it worth trying, brethren and sisters? Is the truth worth forsaking the world for? Of course it is. If only we will value it at its true value. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Kings and priests unto God, joining with Christ in the rulership of the world for the benefit of the inhabitants of the world, that they might learn righteousness. It's the same Spirit by which the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night were to rule the day and night for the benefit of the inhabitants of the earth. Rulership is for the benefit of the people that are being ruled, and they may not recognize it, but it will be for their benefit. And we need to recognize it now, brethren and sisters, that we might develop that character that will bring us a rulership in the age to come. Chapter 4 and verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 thrones. The Greek word is the same. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. We shall be hearing more about the throne in heaven later today. But the saints sit on thrones with Christ in the age to come. And chapter 5 and verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four living ones and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of saints. That's the response, brothers and sisters. prayer and praise to our Heavenly Father. We are part of the four living ones and the 24 elders. They sung a new song, verse 9, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And don't be led astray by some that say that there are alternative translations there. That's a good translation. We shall reign on the earth. It is a truth, and that is what that passage of Scripture is telling us. So then, we are elders, we are saints, we are out of all nations, and we're going to reign on the earth. Another fundamental truth of the Scriptures, that the kingdom of God will be upon the earth. We don't hardly need to remind ourselves, but here as we read through the book of Revelation that seems so difficult in so many parts, the fundamental truths of the Scriptures are all there, brethren and sisters. Let us read it and keep the words of the prophecy, that we might attain to inherit an inheritance among those things that are promised therein. Back in the book of Genesis, in chapter 14, we have the introduction to the office of both king and priest. We are to be priests in the age to come. Of what order are we to be priests in the age to come? We cannot be priests after the order of Aaron, because we are not of the tribe of Levi. Just as we are the seed of Abraham in Christ Jesus, and the seed of David in Christ Jesus, we are of the tribe of Judah in Christ Jesus, and related to kingship. Of what order, then, are we priests in the age to come? It must be after the order of Melchizedek. Just as Jesus is the high priest, the eternal priest, after the order of Melchizedek, we too shall be kings and priests with him after the order of Melchizedek. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him, at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale, a foreshadowing of the saints in their victory over the enemies of God, that the peace might be established. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. First of all, king of righteousness. Secondly, king of peace. And thirdly, priest of the Most High God. In one person, uniting the office of king and priest. And we are being developed, brothers and sisters, as kings of righteousness, kings of peace, and priests of the Most High God. Let us allow that word to work in us, that which is well pleasing in his sight, transforming us from the common people to kings and priests in the age to come, from creatures of the dust to the sons and daughters of the living God. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. And in that typical transaction, we see the age to come, the blessing of the saints after their victory over the enemies of God. Indeed, when the children of Israel were brought out of the land of Egypt, it was intended that they should have had that same position, that they should have been a kingdom of priests. In Exodus chapter 19, In verse 3, we hardly need to quote it, but I'll just read it through just to remind ourselves of what it says there. Moses went up unto God, and Yahweh called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. And we, as saints, brethren and sisters, in Christ Jesus, have been constituted kings and priests and a holy nation. The blessing of the salvation that we have received. In the law, it was stated that a king, when he came to his office, should write a copy of the law that he might read and keep and do it. We are not called upon to write it out, brethren and sisters, but being prepared for our role as kings and priests, that law should be in our minds day by day, that we might learn to read and keep and do it. In the prophecy of Isaiah, we have that prophecy of the kings and priests of the age to come, particularly priests in this prophecy. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 1 speaks of the blessing that is going to come upon this earth in a regime in which there is righteousness and peace, where evil is condemned. Not like the world in which we live, where the rulers are as corrupt as the people, and more corrupt because they have more power to fulfill their lusts. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. This is the character of the age to come, brethren and sisters. Righteousness and judgment. Verse 15. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. The world is going to be fruitful, brethren and sisters. Oh, what a glorious time is coming. Only such a short time, brothers and sisters, to continue unto the end. And then the glories are to be revealed. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. This is the purpose that God has for the world, brothers and sisters. He's called us to be part of it, to administer that blessing upon the nations. Let us put our trust in him. The Psalms speak of that time. Psalm 122. We hardly need to comment on these things, but we have Jerusalem as the centre of that kingdom. Psalm 122 and verse 5, for there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David, of which we are part in Christ Jesus. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. And again in Psalm 132 and verse 11, Yahweh hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children also shall sit upon thy throne for evermore. For Yahweh hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. And we, brothers and sisters, are descendants of David through Christ Jesus, to rule without, for a time that is without end, for 1,000 years, and then that kingdom will not be destroyed, but it will, the order will change in the time beyond. And so, as I say, the prophets are full of these things. The earth is the throne of Yahweh. Jerusalem is the throne of Yahweh over all the earth in the temple of the age to come. So then we are called to be kings and priests in that age. In Luke chapter 19, we have a parable that tells us that there will be differences of ranks. Some will be given more authority than others. Luke chapter 19 and verse 17, he said unto him, "Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority, power over 10 cities." And verse 19, he said likewise to him, "Be thou also over 5 cities." The disciples of Jesus were told that in the regeneration, when the kingdom was established, they would sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Here is a real work for us to do, brothers and sisters, in the age to come. And in Daniel chapter 12, we read of the prophecy of the resurrection. Daniel chapter 12 talks about the salvation of the people of Israel, and we shall be joining with Michael in that day. "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." We are to be as the brightness of the firmament, brothers and sisters. We are to be as stars forever and ever in that age, ruling the day and the night of that age for the benefit of the inhabitants of the kingdom. But one star will differ from another in glory, as Paul tells us in the first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 15. There's a link that's not apparent in the Authorised Version between verse 3, "they that turn many to righteousness," with chapter 8 and verse 14. He says, "He said unto me," talking about how long the sanctuary and the host are to be trodden underfoot, "he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, and then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." The word cleansed, the margin tells us, is justified, and the Hebrew means to make righteous, or to turn to righteousness, in the translation in Daniel chapter 12 and verses 1 to verse 3. So then, in the age to come, we are to turn many to righteousness. That is to be our role in the age to come, and we start now. First of all, ourselves. Turning ourselves to righteousness with the assistance of the Word of God. But helping others too, to walk in the ways of righteousness, encouraging one another in the ways of the truth. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 22, we have the prophecy of the saints receiving the kingdom. Verse 22 of Daniel chapter 7, "Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom." Judgment is to be given to the saints. So let's go finally back to the book of Revelation and chapter 20, and encourage ourselves again with that exhortation that we receive there. We haven't gone into the detail of the rulership of the age to come. That'll be the subject of the two addresses this afternoon. It is the position as kings and priests in the age to come, the saints as rulers that we've tried to portray in this address. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Let us again take the exhortation. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. We've seen how that reflects words earlier in the prophecy. The 24 elders sitting on thrones with the throne of the Lamb. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them, as Daniel prophesied, as we've just seen. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. So it doesn't matter what sort of trouble we have to go through, brethren and sisters. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. When we're in trouble, let us constantly remind ourselves of the blessings to which we are related. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. That's a wonderful theme going through, particularly the book of Revelation, of the power of the word of God and the testimony and the witness that is there. It is indeed powerful, brethren and sisters. That word which seems so weak, we read it, so many are not affected by it. But if we allow it to work, it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between that which is soulish and that which is spiritual. Cutting out that which is soulish, developing that which is spiritual. And in so doing, preparing a ruling order for the age to come. The word of the testimony was sufficient to work in the Roman Empire and overcame the Roman Emperor. And the religion of the Roman Empire was changed to what had become a corrupt form of Christianity. But it was the word of God that had developed that power that overcame the pagan Roman Empire. And it will work in us, brothers and sisters. And it's going to bring a bigger change now. It's going to be the greatest earthquake the world has ever known. The kingdoms of this world are to become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and we're to join with him. So the word of God is powerful, should be powerful in us, and is preparing us. Because if that word works in us, we will not worship the beast, neither his image, neither receive his mark in our foreheads or in our hands, and we shall live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the resurrection of first fruits. On such the second death hath no power. Let us take the exhortation. Let us have the encouragement. Let us see the vision of the glory of the kingdom, so that we shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.